And
I'm feeling it.
Bam, I'm feeling it as well, guys. Welcome to Fire Builders Live, another episode of Fire Builders Live from Key West, Florida, streaming live. And today is an awesome episode. I've got Christian Golic on the show. Christian, just want to say welcome to Fire Builders Live.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. Before we go into what we're going to talk about today, if you guys are unfamiliar with how this show works and what we do and what we talk about, basically, we stream live Monday through Saturday at noon Eastern every single day, and we bring on these amazing experts. We take big goals and we break them down into small steps, things that you can do every day to improve. Now, this runs the gamut. I mean, we've had everything from personal development to finance to, you know, how to write books. But today is a really good one because, honestly, regardless of what you do, if you are online, the best currency that you can possibly have in the sense of marketing yourself is social proof, are testimonials, customer testimonials, and happy, happy people that just speak the world of you. And today we're going to talk about how to get those quick and easy, because it's something that not a lot of people do. Christian is the man to talk to about this. Not only are you a filmmaker and a videographer, you've been focusing on the wedding industry for the last number of years. You were a producer at the company Via Media. You started with film at a really early age. You're amazing. All right, we are back. Christian, guess what? Congratulations. That was the first time we have ever had a massive technical glitch in Fire Builders Live history. It only took 56 episodes, but there it was.
I'm glad that I can help contribute to such a record. Sorry about that. I don't know what went wrong.
No worries, man. No worries. So if you're still with us, which I know that people are right now, basically Christian's going to be talking about how to get amazing testimonial videos from your customers, from your best customers. And so Christian, again, just welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this is a topic I'm very passionate about. And like I learned it not as a videographer, but I learned it as a business owner. And then I use videography to be like, oh, well, I can make the best of the best testimonials because I have the skill. But testimonies are an asset, an invaluable asset that any business can use regardless.
Now, when you say like, you can make the testimonials, are you talking about just the videography of physically kind of splicing these things together into a like a short story almost?
Right. When I started doing testimonies in the beginning, I think I already had an advantage because I already knew how to make the cameras look nice and the audio and how to edit it all together, which was great. And it helped my business. But I also started realizing as time went on that I can't professionally produce every single testimony because there are so many customers that like I want to talk to, and I can't put that amount of time into, you know, I'm only one guy. I can't put that much time into professionally producing every single one. So I've kind of realized throughout the years, like, it's not about the perfect angles and the perfect lighting. They're important. But the message, that's what's most important. And I mean, it's easier than ever today.
The meat. It's like the meat of the content, you know, because you can only polish like a horrible testimonial so much, even if you're right. Like it has the greatest lighting and it's got this panning camera, right? That's moving like you would see in a an actual television commercial. But honestly, if the person, you can tell right away the authenticity of that person that's speaking on camera.
Yes. And in my early days, that was kind of the scenario where the meat wasn't quite there, but it looked nice. And I've, you know, progressed since then.
Well, what I love about what you're doing, I love a lot of things about what you're doing, but one of the things that I personally know is great is that because you are so familiar with how to edit video, how to craft story in the editing room, right? That translates to knowing what shots to get, what to ask, what to talk about when you're actually shooting. So that when you do splice this together, whether or not it's, you know, you're doing it at home or you outsource that, either way, they're going to have the things that they need, the essence, the tools that they need to put together an incredible story.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is so easy to like set up the camera, hit record, and ask a generic question, and then kind of just like sit back and, you know, whatever they say, great. And that's really not helping you, because one, you might even have a list of questions, but depending on their answers, those questions might change and it might branch off into new questions. And you're like, you're always trying to think like, where is this going to go? Where are they taking this? And what does it mean? Because there's a pretty good chance that the experience that they had, or you know, whatever they're talking about, the train of thought they're having, is different from yours, and it's way more authentic. So like, always listening, always just being in tune with like what they're saying in the moment, and then adjusting, visualizing, how will this go into here? How will this go into my sales page? How will this go into social media? Like, yeah.
Yeah, it can be incredibly powerful. And to be honest, nothing's worse than somebody with just a list of questions that is just reading, you know, they got their phone up and they're like, all right, so tell me one thing that you loved about my product, go.
Yeah.
And somebody just, you know, drops this amazing testimonial and you're like, oh, cool. Next question. What didn't you like? And it's just so mechanical. And what I think that you're talking about is just being an active listener and kind of adapting to the flow of the conversation. So the energy, you maintain the energy and the positive right. energy. Yeah.
Well, and it's not, yeah, it's funny because that's not like what you just said sounds like an incredible skill that takes lots of work and effort to like learn and understand. It's just called having a conversation. You're just talking with somebody and you're listening to what they have to say and you respond and then you feed off energy. Like, it's just a conversation, and that's how you get the most authentic results.
Agreed. Totally agreed. And honestly, just like we were talking about before we went live, like the way that I've always envisioned myself having conversations on this show is honestly as if we were at the bar and we were both grabbed a drink. We're both standing there and I asked you what you did and then kind of got into it. And it's just about being curious.
Absolutely. And that's it. That's it. Always stay curious.
So I tell you, before we sort of get into the how, like the nuts and bolts, just walk everybody through just a quick, what were you doing with videos? So you were doing a lot of storytelling with weddings, and how did you piece together the stories in the videos that you created in that niche?
Oh yeah. So the wedding business was, kind of like one of my first ventures. And in the very, very beginning, I just thought, make a pretty wedding video and like, it's good. And very quickly I realized like, it's not just about that. It's about going into the day, like at the beginning of the wedding day, you have no idea what you're going to capture. You have an idea, but you don't know what exactly you're going to capture. You don't stage, it's not produced. So you can do your best to capture the personalities of the couple, but where the magic really like happens is during the ceremony, halfway through the day, where the couple is reading their vows, when there are readings in the ceremony, and even later in the day, the speeches at the reception, that gives the audio of the story. And I take so the wedding day's done, I go into edit. First things first, I listen to all that audio and I piece together the story. Then I talk, then I put in the visuals, then I put in the video. So it's all like, it's all listening. I have an idea beforehand, but I don't know exactly how it's going to go until I do that in-depth listening process.
It's cool. Like, when you watch a lot of videos on places like YouTube and Vimeo, where people try to tell stories, for me, they always start out with just beautiful shots and they is like the first 30 seconds are just shots of cool, like, you know, if it's a wedding video, it's like cool rings and, you know, and the bridesmaids gowns and stuff like that, right? Everybody's like preparing. But what I like about what you said that most people don't do is giving it that humanistic feel, right? That story, that touch, right? Some context as to what, where they are and what's going to happen. It just adds that another level of intimacy, and it pulls you into the video as a listener and as a watcher, like pulls you in instead of, you know, you're going to get bored after like 20 minutes of just nice music and shots of sunrises and stuff, you know? So, so I think that that's a great segue into how you can get testimonials. Cause in essence, like a customer testimonial is very much like what you just described, listening to the audio, getting those inflections and then piecing them together to tell a story.
Yes. And it's actually nice because with a testimonial video with, you know, if we're having a conversation, I actually get to produce a little bit because with a wedding, I don't determine anything they write and I just have to listen and work with it. With testimonials, I get to ask the questions and I get to kind of steer the direction that we're going into. And like, that just makes it so much better and so much more, so much easier to like think, okay, where will this go? How will I piece this together? And I'm thinking that all in the moment.
How have you found, so let's talk about that for a little bit. When you, what's the best way? Well, maybe I should rephrase this a different way. Like, what do most people do when they try to get testimonials from folks in your experience?
I think the most common way is say, and we'll stay in the wedding with the wedding example. So you do the wedding and you edit the film and you send it off and they love it and it's great. Sweet. You know, maybe a day or two later, you type an email saying, "Hey, would you mind, you know, reviewing me? You know, write a little review or a testimony," and then you can put it on Google or like The Knot or Wedding Wire, which are two popular wedding websites. So that's like the typical way you get reviews. And now,
how often do they respond? I mean, would you say it was like 50%?
I would say, yeah. I mean, it actually is a decently good response. I think, and it also depends on the business model. Like if you're like a bulk wedding business where you're just shooting two or three weddings a weekend and you're just boom, 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 then it's probably more 50% because you have less personal connection. But if you are doing one wedding a weekend, if you're doing one wedding a month and you're really
putting the time in, you know, the FaceTime.
Yeah. They are always willing. And it's very nice. And they will write paragraphs upon paragraphs upon paragraphs. And it's very nice. But it's like, what do you do with that? Because also no other like future couple is going to read paragraphs upon paragraph. Like it's not happening. It's nice, but it's a lot of work for not a lot of payoff. I think.
I feel like it's the equivalent of trying to start a relationship with someone via text message, you know, because it's like, you know, there's so much that can be misconstrued. You just don't get a very good sense of the energy and the nuance, the vocal nuance of the person, like if it's just text.
Right, exactly. And they can capitalize and bold all they want, but it's still not the same.
Yeah, exactly.
10 exclamation points.
Right, and so having, you know, having that video testimonial, that's why I think it's so important, because you can see their eyes, you can see their face, you can see their body language, you can hear their voice. And the passion or lack thereof in their voice. And so now tell me a little bit about what it takes to grab a really good video testimonial from folks?
In terms of a video, I think ultimately it comes down to the questions you ask. Of course you want good looking video, but it's not the end all be all, which, you know, we talked about. It's really the questions you ask. And in a video where you're face to face or screen to screen, you have the ability to have that conversation and you have the ability to steer the questions. And people also, most of the time, aren't going to speak paragraphs upon paragraphs upon paragraphs. It's going to be more call and response. And that's a much more natural approach. It's a much more captivating approach. Look at this show right now. We both have a lot of things to say, but we're going back and forth. And it's enjoyable for us. And I think it's captivating for anyone watching a conversation.
If you guys think it's captivating, because I know there are people watching right now, put it in the comments. Let us know. God damn it.
Are you entertained?
Yeah. Are you not entertained? No, I totally agree. And, you know, it lets you, it's just such a more human interaction. I don't know about the people listening. I know that you've probably been asked this before. I certainly have. When somebody says, hey, I'm really glad that you liked my product here, would you mind recording a quick testimonial video on your phone and send it to me? And if you know, sometimes you don't even have the direction that you need. It could go in any way, shape, or form. People, myself included, I get so turned off by that. Like, my motivation to do the testimonial video is so much less because you haven't told me exactly what you want, how to do it. And then I got to find time to do it. And it's just annoying, man.
I'm in that situation right now. I need to do one for a friend who it's well deserved. Like my friend who I've been talking to and he's worked with me, like, he deserves the testimony, but I'm just like, oh, well, you know, I'm busy. Like, I got this, I got that. And I'm a video professional. I'm not even worried about the video, like, setting up the camera. Like, I'm not even worried about that. And it's still like, you know, okay, I'll get to it.
So what's in your mind? And by the way, before we go on any further, Elizabeth said, I love the back and forth, really organic. Exactly.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
That's the idea. That's the idea. Making it organic, making it fun to watch. Giving the audience, the viewer, something that they can grab onto and relate to. Mm-hmm. It's hard to relate to just, you know, robotic. It's hard to relate to really anything text-wise, if it's just on your site. So what's the alternative then? What would you suggest as far as how to get great testimonies from customers?
I think the key to getting great testimonies is striking while the iron's hot. So if they just bought your product, and like they've had like, you know, some time to use it, or they just came to your event, or whatever you're doing, striking while the iron's hot. That's part one. And part two is, again, asking the right questions, not just tell me what you liked about it. Because then they're going to go, oh my gosh, well, I love this. And this was cool. And it great. This was great. And it's like, okay, but like, let's get into like the meat of it. What did you like about it? Really tell me how you felt. And an open-ended question just isn't going to do that.
Well, so what is the tactically, what should they do? I take it you want to try to get them onto a screen-to-screen call. You want to try and use something like Zoom or Skype, somewhere that you can record. What would you suggest?
I very much am a big fan of Zoom. I have like the basic tier. It's like not the free version, but like the next level up. So very inexpensive, and it gives me the ability to record and have a conversation. We even have group conversations if like I really wanted to. It's fast, and especially now with the pandemic, everyone knows Zoom. Everyone knows Zoom or Google Hangouts or like people are very comfortable with, you know, screen to screen calls now. Before the pandemic, there was a lot more resistance and, you know, people kind of felt weird about it. But like, now we're in the perfect opportunity that like the technical isn't even a worry because everyone's on Zoom.
And is the question when you say strike when the iron's hot is to send them a follow up and say, hey, I would really love it if you hopped on my Zoom and we talked this out a little bit. We went a little bit back and forth. I'd love maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. As like get in front of them as soon as possible after they have experienced what you sold to them or the event you offered, like, because then it's fresh in their mind, the excitement, the butterflies, it's still there. So one, they're like raring, ready to go. You ask, you know, tell me what specifically you liked about my product, my event. Then they talk about, you know, that one specific thing among other things. Okay, let's take that one specific thing, break that even, you know, let's go deeper into that. What about this did you like? How did it make you feel? And like, I mean, this example is pretty broad and generic. It very much depends on what they're offering. But like, well, just getting in depth.
Yeah, like my mom always would say, the cake, not the frosting, you know, like you're trying to get underneath. And I agree with that. I think that what if for those that are listening, I mean, there might be a little bit of a fear that this person says something about what they don't like, or, you know, something negative.
Sure.
What would you say as far as, what would you suggest as far as getting over the, you know, maybe a little bit of anxiety about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very tough position to be put in, especially if you're not mentally prepared. But like, I guess like you kind of have to step into the role of customer service. And as a planner, you know, thinking about the future, like, okay, this customer is mostly happy, but there's a few things that, like, you know, maybe they're not so thrilled about. Let me listen to this. Let me see, like, you know, what are they struggling with? And like, how can I improve upon it? And
totally.
And then also, like, bonus, you're probably not going to post a negative testimony right away, but you could even, like, if you recorded the call, which I always recommend, record all calls, like, you can take that constructive criticism you get from your client. 3 months down the road, you fix that issue. And then you hop on a call with that client again saying, hey, we fixed this issue, or you know, we think we fixed the issue. Is it better? And they say, oh my gosh, yes, perfect. Then you have like the before and after of like, there was a problem, now you fixed it, and you have video proof, you have a customer affirmation. Like,
dude, you're the hero at that point. Yeah, hell yeah.
You know? You can always spin it into a positive.
And it's almost, I've never thought about that before, but that's a really interesting premise. You could essentially take all of the negative reviews, assuming that person isn't nasty about it, which normally, right, like, very rarely are they, but they're like, hey, I really like this, but I really wish that I could have done this. And you could, whenever you launch, if you have a product or a service and you evolve that product or service and you've got these new features, you could put together like a negative review video, just a quick like snippet of all these things to mm-hmm. show, yeah, this is what we found ourselves a couple of months ago and what people were asking for, and here's what we've done to fix it. I mean, man, shit, that would paint you in such an amazing light as a company.
Well, dude, everyone loves a comeback story. Like, you know, if you're just perfect at all times, like, okay, that's great. But if people see like you're humble, you tried and you fell short in some areas, and now you worked on that, and now like they know you're actually caring about like their needs, and you're not just selling a product to make money. Like, you actually care.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it, man. And so, okay. So great segue into just the first question that we normally ask, and we've touched upon it. I think I know what your answer is going to be, but if you can, if you could suggest one thing that people do in order to improve or start to get video testimonials, especially if they've never done it before, Mm-hmm. In your mind, in your experience, what should that thing be?
I think the first thing people should do, like once a day, is really look at their customer and what their customer looks like, you know, demographics, like, you know, all that, like, and look at what they need. Look at what you have already delivered on and see how you can improve that. And that might be just asking. That might be just self-reflection. But I think the sooner people get in tune with how they are really helping and how they can improve, then that's when they're going to really make a big mark.
And I feel like it would just better just doing that research on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Would honestly really improve the questions that you ask or how you ask them during the testimonial video itself, you know,
right.
Instead of asking just like random questions out of the blue and, mm-hmm. and catching people off guard.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be this profound realization of like, oh, they, you know, they want this. How could I not? It could be as simple as, you know, reading a review. It could be as simple as like, you know, seeing if they're on social media and they're posting about your product or they're, you know, implementing what you taught at an event, like, and you just go, okay, huh, they're taking that approach. I would have thought they took that approach, but they're taking that interest. Like, it doesn't have to be this grand realization. It can just be a small little like, huh, well, that's good to know.
You know, in the product space, and I know this from personal experience with at least software, is that, you know, you create a product or service in your own mind with your own intentions and you put it out there in the world. And the only way that you recognize the true nature of that product and how the world is using it is by doing this very thing and opening yourself up to conversations like this with your customers and saying, you know, how is it that you actually use this? How is it that you implement this into your life? Because those are the nuggets of wisdom that will guide you. It's like they're the fence posts that say, yep, Josh, you're doing a really good job aligning your messaging and marketing to what, you know, the original intention of the product was. Or on the other hand, if they're like, yo, I took your thing, but I use it in this completely different way. That can be enlightening, but that can also mean maybe I'm not describing it as well as I thought that it was. And people are now like using it and having to just make up, you know, use cases, right? And just figure it out for themselves.
Right. And I mean, like in that example you're describing, I just thought, I'm like, wow, that's like any piece of artwork. The artist can create and have this intention and be very, very specific and have it mean something to them. As soon as it's out in the world, it means whatever it means to the people who consume it.
Yeah, exactly. It becomes the world's anymore. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's not yours anymore. Now it's like the world has taken it in under their wing.
You just have to listen to them and say like, okay, you know, I hear where you're coming from.
So if somebody did this type of thought process, this thinking about their customer, reaching out to people, getting them onto Zoom and asking questions, mm-hmm. engaging in conversations. If they did this, honestly, for 30 days, and maybe not one every single day, because that is a lot of work, but even just a few per week, where would you expect they would be at the end of a month?
At the end of the month, if people called maybe two or three people a week, two or three happy customers, or, you know, maybe just customers, they don't even have to be happy, just to learn. You know, if people call two to three customers a week and like, say, you know, they call someone on Monday, they have a 10-15 minute call, they record it. And then the next day they take that recording and chop up pieces of like, of testimony that they say, of things they say in the conversation. And then on Wednesday, have another call. Thursday, chop it up, have more pieces. I mean, you can take like 10 small pieces of testimony from one call that's 10 to 15 minutes. Fast forward 30 days, you have like 300 pieces of video content. It's like, oh my God, how do you, holy shit. And it's so simple, but you can get phenomenal results in a month.
And if for those that are listening now, in case you haven't thought about this, the stuff that you get, the content that you get on video is useful in all sorts of other areas. I mean, you can transcribe it, you can change it into written text, you can pull the audio from it, and you can have audio testimonials. These are all things that I personally have implemented in the past. I know that they work. And so the video is just an easy, super easy way to just grab that initially.
Video takes a lot of the legwork out because it can be adapted. Like you said, transcriptions, audio, video, it's so multi-purposed.
Well, so when you say chop it up, right, there mm-hmm. might be some people listening that are like, I don't know anything about video editing. I've never used one, right? What's the easiest way? Is it that complicated that they would need to hire somebody to do it? Or are there a little bit easier ways to chop it up, at least in the short term?
Yeah. I mean, short term, there certainly are easy and free ways to do it. I mean, we have video software on our phones that typically even come, like iPhones have iMovie. I don't know about Android, but like there are free apps that you can load video into and say, you have a 10-minute call, you want from 1 minute, 37 seconds to, 2 minutes and 56 seconds, cut, take that piece, save it, done. but at the same time, if you are doing this for 30 days and you have, if you do 3 or 4 calls a week, that's a lot to be doing. So I think there are a lot of time advantages if you wanted to outsource it. But just because you outsource it doesn't mean you don't control it. Like you can easily just have the call and then, mark down like in notes saying like, I like this time to this time, send it off to your editor and they'll be able to do it super fast because if they're a freelance editor, like they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Maybe the thing is that you do one yourself or you work with an editor to have a good example, and then you can use that as an example in the future for any other freelance work that you end up outsourcing and say, this is the kind of end product that I'm looking for. So take this video that we did, here are a couple really good times that I like the conversation and I'm looking to put it together in this type of style.
Oh my gosh, you can do so much, especially if you set up a system with like outsourcing the edit. I mean, really, you're spending 10 to 15 minutes on a call with your customer, 10 to 15 minutes just marking down, or you could even write it down like in the call, like, okay, I really like their answer here and here. Send it off to your editor. A day or two later, you have 10 pieces of content. And you spent a whole 30 minutes in total. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. And that amount of content can be used in so many different places. And it's not just for social media. I mean, it's great for social media, but it can be used to help sell your next product or your next event on the sales page, in a proposal. Social media too, email lists. Like you literally cannot run out of things to post video to.
Well, so I'm curious as to what you're going to say about this because I've seen it go both ways. When you have, let's say that you do your interviews and you've got a sizable amount of testimonials now from like maybe 5 or 6 different people. Mm-hmm. What do you think is more effective for you personally? Do you like to see a website that has 6 or 7 individual testimonial videos where you can play one from like Kristen and one from Chad and, you know, right? Or on the contrary, do you like to watch videos that compile the best testimonials into one like sizzle reel, quote unquote?
Sure. I don't know if I can pick between the two. I think they both have, you know, their weight in gold, but it's about where you place it. I think if I'm just going for general information, I think the sizzle reel is a really good start, because it's like, you know, you click play and you're just like, you know, you're learning, you're kind of getting a good idea, and that's great. If you have people who are like pretty, they're interested, they still like want to learn a little bit more, well, okay, Chad sounds like he has similar needs to mine, I'm going to watch Chad's, or I'm going to watch Julie's, or like, that's when the individual testimony really, like, I think shines.
Makes sense. Yeah. Right. Having like use cases, you know, as opposed to just a, like an overall, hey, my product is super awesome, and here's the story that I've crafted, you know, to tell it. And actually, so I wanted to show you this, right? Elizabeth says, as an artist getting feedback on a painting purchase on a video clip, it would be awesome. I know Elizabeth, she is an artist, she paints, and I 100% agree that if you would send a painting to someone and then get their reaction and even how they put it up, you know, how they display it in their home or on their boat, in my case, or wherever, you know, that would be an amazing video clip to have.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I actually am friends with a painter who does that exact thing. Like her social media constantly has, like the hung painting. It's not just the work of the painting, which of course is very nice. It's the, here it is on her client's wall. Here's her client's reaction. Like it's very, very powerful.
I love that. And yeah, because it is, it's about, like you said, when you create art and you give it to the world, it's no longer about the act of creation for you. You've given this as a gift to the world, and now it's up to them to, you know, tussle with it and make it their own, you know, and live in the moment with it. So man, I couldn't agree more. And so tell me a little bit about now what you're doing. How do people connect with you if they have further questions? Like, what do you got going on in your life with regards to video testimonials?
Sure. So this is something where I've been working on with other entrepreneurs, solopreneurs. I mean, anyone can use this, but I feel like it resonates most with those small businesses where, like, kind of like you and I, we are the face of our business. But I've been working with people, and the key is speed, and the key is just like making it happen fast and not worrying about all the technicals, like getting to the meat of it. So I've been working, and I have, just because I like catchy names, I have like a consulting product called the 10 in 10, which is you can get 10 high quality testimonials in a 10 minute call. So that's my like product, catchy name product, where it's just a private consulting with me, and it's 2 calls. The first call is just talking about like the business that, you know, they're in and what they want to do immediately. Like, are they about to sell a product? Are they trying to fill the last few seats in their next event? Like, are they like, whatever they're trying to do, we talk about that.
As in like the call to action of the video testimony, like the end result, the end video that you create, what it's trying to accomplish.
Exactly. Right. And then we take that and figure out, how do we ask the right questions to get that call to action? Because ultimately it's up to the customer to give that affirmation. So we want to make sure that the customer says something that will help sell, obviously. So it's not just tell me what you liked. it's really getting those right questions, and also how to ask the questions, because like you and I are very comfortable just having a conversation and, you know, going about it, but it could definitely be a little intimidating for some people. So we touch on that too.
Here's one question that just came through that I think is a really good one. You're going to like, and let's see, I wonder how much of the screen this is going to take. I'm going to just do this. Do you also consider what kickbacks you give to the consumer who is taking the time to give their testimony, connecting it to a future incentive, such as a percent off of a future purchase? Do you find that consumers are more apt to participating in testimonials?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the goal is you do such a good job that they'll just want to give you that testimony. But, you know, if you're sending them email after email saying like, hey, you know, we want to hop on a Zoom call, and they're kind of just like not getting around to responding. Yeah, I think having that incentive of you get 10% off, or like refer, or not, well, that's a different story, not referrals. But like any sort of upsell that is now free, or any sort of additional little something to give them, I think is a great idea.
Yeah, completely. I do too. I mean, the way that I've seen it done, a lot of times it doesn't have to be something physical. Like it doesn't have to be, no. Hey, I'm going to, you know, send you a $10 Amazon gift card or a Starbucks card or something like that. Really, especially if you are the face of the business and you have provided a service of some kind. What I've found in my experience too is that just framing this call, not just as a testimonial call, but also like a one-on-one call with you for them to follow up and maybe ask any questions that they might have. Mm-hmm. You know, it just that time and attention is more than enough to be an incentive for someone to hop on the call with you. And Yeah,
it's not a one-way thing. It's not a, hey, I want to hop on a call so I can pull pieces of testimony from, like, it is 100% both ways. It's a conversation. They have just as much the ability to ask you things, to like really have their feedback heard.
And yeah, talk to you about it. Exactly. Because it's that, man, I found just that attention from someone that they respect and admire, and you know they've purchased something from, that holds way much more weight. Is that a real sentence? Much more weight than if you were to just say, hey, you know, here's something from Starbucks. And also, I think it's a more genuine interaction. You know, otherwise, it feels like you're paying them to say nice things in a little bit of a way.
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of that, and I've gotten a Starbucks gift card from a company, and I was like, oh, this is nice. I don't really drink Starbucks, but thank you for sending me this. Like,
yeah,
I more personalized the better. And what's valuable for them.
So the way that people can connect with you, your site is in the description of this video. It's okay. The 10 in 10.
Right? Yes. The 10 in 10, which goes into more detail about how to go and get 10 quality pieces of video testimony in a 10 minute call. That gives more detail. And then if people are interested in like working with me and connecting, so like we can get personalized advice on how to do it, that's the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's important that people listening should know that there's a whole lot of ways the tech stuff can happen, right? So don't let that be a burden. Really, I think a lot of what we've gone over today that Christian has talked about is more about you just getting out there and using, honestly, my favorite phrase of all time, the work teaches you the work. Just go out there and talk to people and see what it's like. And even if your first couple don't go as well as you think, you're going to learn a whole hell of a lot. And mm-hmm. each one's going to get better and better and better.
That's it. Yeah.
Dude, it's always good to talk with you. This has been a great conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know that the people listening have as well. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. And so as we wrap up, do you have any parting words for those folks listening? What do you want to leave them with? Anything?
I would say always, always, always be in tune with your customer. As you know, it might be a little generic, but it's tried and true. Like, that will dramatically help your business the more you're in tune with them. Yep. Yeah.
And do so by just hopping on a one-on-one call with them and asking them how they feel.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get in the trenches. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's right. The trenches. That's where the magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Well, thank you so much again for being on the show. Thanks everybody for listening and tuning in today. It's been a pleasure. And we stream live Monday through Saturday at noon Eastern, Fire Builders Live. Come check us out. This is on a podcast now, for God's sakes. So you don't even have to be on Facebook anymore. I know we're moving up in the world. So Christian, thanks again for being on the show.
Absolutely. And thank you. Really appreciated this.
You are welcome. You are welcome. So guys, this is Josh and Christian signing off for another episode of Fire Builders Live. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys later. Adios.